Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM, which stands for Tools of the Trade and Academic Learning in Emergency Medicine. Like I said, my name is Chip Lang, and I'm an emergency medicine PA. I first started my career over a decade ago in emergency medicine and firefighting, and I continue doing that, but I primarily work in emergency departments, primarily in rural Missouri. And I love talking about a variety of topics. This week's topic in particular is talking about volume resuscitation, and it's all about the flow, which is something that a lot of people miss when we think about volume resuscitation. Now, what do I mean about volume resuscitation? Well, let's take the examples of trauma and sepsis. With trauma, we're trying to give blood products, usually, as quickly as possible. And in sepsis, we're thinking about usually crystalloids, such as normal saline or lactated ringers. But we also need to think about how we should be able to give this. And a lot of people will think about, oh, let's get a central line in place, thinking that this is a nice big catheter and we can get lots of stuff through it quickly. But is it the quickest? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Really, we need to think about this in a very different light. And some of you may already be familiar with some of the principles we're going to talk about, but many of you, I have realized over time, don't, which is why I think there is a worthwhile refresher. And I say refresher for some people because you may already have exposure and knowledge to this, but many of you don't because you may not see this, or you may miss the social media, or you may still just be unfamiliar with this whole role. But what we'll find out is that there are multiple factors that come into play on deciding what is going to give us the fastest flow and why. So like I said, we automatically think about like the big catheters. We think about the central lines and stuff like that, but oftentimes they're not the fastest. There are other factors that come into play. And I don't want to overwhelm people with math, but we're going to talk about Poiseuille's law, which I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but the flow rate is affected by the viscosity of the fluid, the pressure gradient of the tubing, the length of the catheter, and the diameter of the catheter, or as referred to also its radius. In order to achieve the maximum flow, the largest diameter catheter with the shortest length should be used. And that is how we get the formula. I'm not going to try and explain the formula, but I do have it in the show notes at totalem.org. Because I'm terrible in some ways with math like this, but if you look at it, you can see the calculations and how this all works. But essentially, we want the largest diameter and the shortest length. Also, if we have a low viscosity, that's great. And if we can use the maximum pressure, even better. But we have less control over those factors. However, when we talk about like blood products take longer to infuse than crystalloids because the blood products are more viscous. So it's worth knowing that blood products will take longer. And it's also worth noting how much of a difference the pressure can make versus just hanging something to gravity because the flow rates can take a lot longer. With all that being said, let's go over some examples, okay? If I have a 14-gauge IV, just a regular peripheral 14-gauge IV, not an angiocath, because that's going to affect our time as well, but if I have a regular 14-gauge IV and I put it up to 300 millimeters mercury of pressure, like a pressure bag with a liter of saline, it will take a minute and a half to infuse that liter of saline. If I hung it to gravity, though, it'll take about 4 minutes to infuse that liter of saline, which doesn't sound like a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, really doesn't. But many people will put in, say, a 20-gauge IV, and if we hang that to gravity, that flow rate is going to be 60 mLs a minute, which means that it is going to take 17 minutes to infuse a liter of saline. Notice the time difference there. A pressure bag liter connected to a 14-gauge IV would have been a minute and a half, but when we are just hanging to gravity with a 20-gauge IV, that's 17 minutes. But let's talk about some other examples. Let's talk about a RICLINE or rapid infusion catheter. If you have an 8.5 French, these things are monsters. They're huge, and they are awesome because you can put a liter of saline under 300 millimeters mercury pressure in 46 seconds. It's the only thing that infuses in under a minute. It is impressive with that role. But then let's switch gears and let's talk about a regular triple lumen central line. If you try and infuse that at gravity, it is going to take 34 minutes to infuse a single liter of saline, which is why this is not really something that makes a whole lot of sense. Even if we use the 16 gauge distal port, which is a lot of times used, then that's 15 minutes at gravity. It takes much longer than that 14 gauge. And the reason why has a little bit to deal with the diameter, but more about the length. Having a central line is very long. And we have some pictures in the show notes, again, at totalem.org, podcast number 219, that illustrates this point very nicely. Because what you'll notice with the pictures is that you'll have a lot of shorter catheters overall, but you get these big monstrosities of catheters when we're talking about central lines. And all of that extra tubing takes that much longer because, again, there's a pressure gradient that builds. And you also have to deal with the decreased viscosity. Then you have to add in our issues with flow overall, because the longer that tube, the harder it is to achieve that maximum flow. So to achieve the maximum flow, again, the ideal setting would be to have that large diameter and that short tubing. So again, that would be that 14 gauge, you know, itty bitty, like very minimal length to it, enough to achieve access peripherally, and that's it. But wide enough, big enough that we can infuse a lot through it. So that is why this is something that's really helpful. Now you may ask yourself, well, where does the IO stand? The IOs, especially when we're talking about like that 15 gauge humeral IO, it's not going to be as fast as an 18 gauge, but will still be faster than a 20 gauge IV and a triple lumen catheter. So there is benefit of getting that humeral IO. Plus, we have to factor in time. How easy is it for us to put in a peripheral IV? Very easily. What's even easier is a humeral IO. What takes a little bit longer are RIC lines, because they require a little more of a procedure to them. But especially when we're talking about central lines, whether it is the single lumen introducer or we're talking about those triple lumen central lines that we're so familiar with when we're talking about a variety of conditions, those sheath introducers or those central line triple lumen catheters are going to take much longer to place, which is why they don't make as much sense in their acute resuscitations. Sometimes it may be the only thing you can obtain, though, which is why it still makes sense to use it in certain settings. But realistically, our goal should be to obtain a peripheral IV with a 14, 16, maybe an 18 gauge catheter, if that's all we have. But if that doesn't work, then we should probably be looking at the IOs. And then maybe last, we're going to look at using those RIC lines or those central lines. Hopefully this all makes sense. Hopefully you now realize why it's such a big deal to get these large bore IVs in peripheral places to be able to get the most bang for our buck, because that's where we're going to get our effective high flow rates that will help with the immediate resuscitations that we're looking at when we're talking about emergency medicine and critical care. And take a look. Again, take a look at the graphs. Unfortunately, these get replicated so much that I can't really find the original author in most cases. I think the one that is the first one that you'll see is from Rebel EM, because that looks like his formatting. But otherwise, it's hard to know where these came from. So if you are the person who did them, please let me know. I'll be happy to add credit to this later on. But make sure to check these out. Make sure to understand a little bit more. Check out the actual principle and the law so you can better kind of see that. And hopefully this will help you better take care of these patients. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.